This conference is being recorded.
Walker Fire Protection Board meeting. So now we're being recorded for your little conversations. Now everybody's quiet.
Yeah,
Frank, are you there yet? No, he said he'd call in at 9
o'clock. 9:02.
All right. 9:02, yeah, but that should be. Well, we actually, the agenda calls for an executive session at the beginning, and I don't know if anybody have anything to talk about in an executive session. Make Stephen leave.
I can leave.
No, I don't think there's any personnel issues.
No, nothing like that. The only thing that I already mentioned to you is just about the
mail.
The mail getting
being delayed.
A little less of a delay.
And I'll talk to Linda.
Okay.
And, see what's going on. The recorder's on, so don't say anything bad about John. Where the hell are you? Greg on? No, Greg's not here yet. I saw his email. Did you see his email? You said he had a home project. He's on a call. Yeah.
You guys have a call? Yeah, force a quorum.
Okay. If he's here on the phone, that's part of what we, you know.
Right, yeah. But he's not.
Right.
The four of you.
Right.
Hi, Greg.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Greg, this is Roger. I emailed you an updated version of the fire chief report to the extent you care.
Yep. No, I saw that this morning in the treasurer's report, so I've been through all of that. But thank you.
I'm surprised that the oh, my God.
Hey.
How much income did we get off of the newsletter? $2,700. Your report.
I just printed out. I'm a little behind the curve here, I got to tell you.
Hang on, John.
Talk about something else. Let's see.
You made it.
You walked cold out there. It's happening.
Oh, it's not cold.
Morning.
You know,
well, thank you.
This is only through October that we're reporting on, so
you made it.
To show up. Okay.
All right, Greg, what's happening is that John and Chuck have just come in. Scott's here, Vic's here.
Oh, Chuck.
Rodney's here, and Roger's here, and Steve Nathanson is our sole observer so far today.
Who are we talking to?
Talking to Greg.
Greg, okay.
Greg who?
Paul? Paul, are you there?
Hey, funny.
Greg, anything you need to bring up for executive session or whatever?
No, not really. The only thing is I'll give a little bit of an update on the survey count a little bit later on when we get to the committees, but other than that, no.
Okay. You want to talk about the survey a little bit before we start, or do you want to do that during your committee?
Sure. No, we've at this point, it's run for a little bit around 4 weeks, maybe five, since we sent out the newsletter. And we've got 63 responses, which is lower than I'd hoped for, but I think what we can do is just leave it open for another 30 days. We never did set an exact time to close it out. And so if we send out maybe a couple of more email blasts, and in the next 4 weeks, before the next board meeting, for example, see if we can accumulate any more votes. But we've got 63 so far, which is a small percentage, you know, overall. It looks like they're very, very constructive comments. I think what we can do is discuss as a board the results and how we want to post them for the membership. And maybe if we do an interim posting with the results, that might incent some people to kind of, you know, plug in their comments as well. And then, like I said, by the June board meeting, announce the results at that point. And then I think from that point, you know, we'll have enough information on there that we can have some more constructive dialogue, at least from the respondents, for the input of the planning committee and the subcommittees after that. Thanks.
Well, from what I saw, Greg, it didn't look like there was too many people too upset with things. There was, you know, it seemed to be pretty much supportive in terms of what we're doing.
No, I would agree. I would agree. I think that, you know, there was some opportunity as well from some of the respondents that, you know, they do see value in the amount of the suggested dues amount at, what, $250 now. and that there might be an inclination to throw in a little bit more from some people if we can show some value, some additional value. So I think it's good directional information for the board to chew through.
Okay. All right. We begin the general session a little early. Should we wait till 15 minutes after?
Let's just go. Do this thing.
All right. You got the agenda as was proposed. Any additions or things that we need to talk about that are not on the agenda? And the committee reports include your kind of stuff with the EAD and that sort of thing, so we don't have to necessarily
meet you on the
agenda. I think that just beeps. And I think Greg may have gone away.
You
still there, Greg?
Yeah, on mute.
He'll have to come back. Put it on mute.
No, he's Greg went on mute.
Is that what it is? Oh, okay.
Lurking about outside? Or?
Well,
you went to take a shower.
If they're focused on this,
okay. All right. The only thing I got, the parking lot thing is, that's not a big deal. And
under new business, old business. The parking lot entrance.
Old business.
That's old business.
Yeah. And they can handle the dance thing under community, I guess.
Dance group under new business, okay. All right, so we'll add under old business the parking lot entrance, and under new business the proposed dance in January. Okay, with those amendments, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Approved.
John O. Moves. I give that to Chuck. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Yeah, okay.
You need a shower?
Okay. Public comment, Steve. You're the only public here. You have anything that you would like to say?
I have a big position.
Yeah.
There is a lot of weight.
Very responsible.
Right. Representative.
We want to make sure that
people.
Yeah, make sure that you have voice.
Someone's coming in. I just saw someone walk by.
Okay. All right.
Get someone else to say something.
Perfect timing. Public comment. You got 2 minutes.
We've been talking about you. It's your turn. Hi, Lauren.
Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Lauren.
Do you have anything you want us to address during this meeting?
No, sir.
All right. Or anything that you would like to address?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, I really don't have much of a report other than we're just rocking along here, waiting to see what the results are from the newsletter. We have some of those returned. Still have 20. Greg, we still have about 20 that are coming back off the newsletter. And Russ has those, and we'll start cleaning that list up and getting ready we'll see if we can't do a better job for the March mailing.
Okay.
Okay, so
sounds good.
Report. Russ had sent around the minutes. Anybody have any thoughts on the minutes?
Move.
Okay. Second. Chuck. Moves. Vic. Seconds.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Treasurer's report. Aye. Okay. Treasurer's report. We got that this morning on an email, which I.
Sorry, a little late, but my life's been late.
If we're solvent, just tell us we're solvent.
We're solvent. We got $90,000 in the bank. We're up on the budget for October by $2,000, and year to date we're down $2,000.
Okay.
End the report.
Move to approve.
I can't keep up with you today.
I'm shockingly. I look at the budget all along.
Second. John, okay. All in favor? Any discussion about the treasury report?
Sounds great.
Okay. Maybe we have somebody else coming in, too. Fire chief report.
Okay. So I sent out an updated version this morning to Russ to put into the minutes. Calls, we had two structure fires, two wildland fires, one medical, one public assist. Who knows, but it seems like we're having more calls lately than we used to have. I don't know if this is something that's just going to be from now on. I mean, we're kind of rivaling Groom Creek, which before maybe had twice as many calls as we did. Don't know what to make of it, but it's just, for now, a casual observation. The fleet. Okay, so this is an update to the draft of the report I sent earlier. I was asked last month to look into converting the tender with the bad transmission, that's tender 82, into an automatic transmission. I can give a little more detail, but basically it's not possible. There are several obstacles, including that the PTO is on the wrong side, and moving it is not an option, is what I've been told. So we're back to replacing the transmission on a like-for-like basis, keeping it a manual transmission, and that quote-unquote very close estimate of 3610 to do the work. Last month you all were in favor of that. I'm assuming that's still not an obstacle for us to go ahead and proceed, but you can let me know if that is an obstacle. Training. Our November 17th training was a joint exercise with Prescott Fire. Engine 75 showed up with three guys. We went over pumping operations and nursing operations with their personnel. This was a refresher for us, which is something we need to do on a regular basis and do on a regular basis. And it was an introduction to our equipment for their crew in case, they need to come here again. It would be nice that they have some idea of what our equipment is like because it's a little different. Our December 1st training, we went up and visited the new substation. We did preventative maintenance on the trucks, and we practiced putting on the turnout gear and the SCBAs. Arizona Wildfire Academy. Most of the people interested in taking classes at the academy are now signed up, including one recruit who's going to take the basic, which is an introductory class. So that's good. This is an addition to the draft I sent out during the week. Powick has committed to at least $1,000 toward our expense at the Arizona Wildfire Academy, with the possibility of more to come after the new year. The $1,000 goes a very long way to our entire expense, which as of right now is only $1,170, so net would only be $170 if they can't give us any more. That number, though, may increase as more firefighters sign up, if more firefighters sign up. Last item here, Prescott Fire, kind of a tie into what I said about them coming to train. A couple of days before that training, a different crew from Station 75 came to visit. They were here for about an hour. They seem to now be very interested in trying to help us from time to time. Hopefully they realize that we're eager to learn and can use the help. One other item that I guess I forgot to put on the report. The three structure fires that we had, they were dispatched as if we had automatic aid, which is a great thing for us. It's, depending on who's available, it's one less thing to remember that we need to call for help from Prescott. Automatic aid is when the tone goes out, they'll say engine 86, water tender 82, engine 75, which is Prescott. That's where they do that simultaneously. It's called automatic aid. For reasons that are unknown to me, and I'll be discussing at the next partners meeting for the dispatch center, Central Yavapai took it upon themselves to get in touch with the dispatch center and Prescott Fire and say that the agreement is not that we're dispatched, that they are dispatched automatically to help us, that 75 will send an engine if requested. So I don't know why they took it upon themselves to do this. I don't know why they had this conversation without involving us. I don't know if it was the assistant chief's doing or if this came from the Central Yavapai fire chief. Don't know what it's about. I kind of let them know I wasn't happy that this conversation occurred, without us. It would have been the same net result, but I don't know why the conversation occurred without us. Hope they'll have more detail. The next partners meeting is December, I think it's the 18th. December 18th. So I'll have hopefully more detail at the January meeting. It was just kind of a peculiar encounter, and so I wanted to relay that to the group. I don't know what
to do. In your eyes, how should it happen?
Well, I was surprised that we got what appeared to be automatic aid. So if he's right, I just don't know why
he had the conversation without us. I mean, he spoke to the dispatch center and Prescott Fire about Walker Fire without including Walker Fire in the conversation. It seemed to me kind of very discourteous, if that's a word. And so, you know, try and find out more about it.
So what was the, what's the bottom line then from dispatch? Will they do it automatically?
No.
Or you will have to get the call and then ask them,
yeah,
please dispatch 75?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when there's a structure fire, I mean, our standing procedure had been when there's a structure fire, we know, hopefully everyone knows, but we know,
right,
to, you know, structure fire, okay, can you call Prescott to come help us?
Okay.
And they will. It's,
yeah,
if asked, they will definitely,
right,
come. That's not a problem. But just in terms of, it's something else to remember, and depending on who's around when a call comes in, it's conceivable that someone might not remember, and so it's just something, an extra layer we need to add to the training, which is
so
easy enough.
So Prescott Fire actually had no objection to that.
They didn't voice any objection.
And they are the ones that are closest to the,
exactly,
situation.
Yeah. I don't know why Central Yavapai has been dispatched to anything here, but,
right,
they were dispatched to two of the three stretcher fires.
Okay.
Isn't Lady Street Central Yavapai?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's Prescott.
Yeah.
Chuck? What, so your meeting on the 18th was obviously a discussion will probably ensue with Prescott Fire to see whether or not they have any objections to. I mean, we don't have an automatic agreement in place, but since they have already automatically responded.
They haven't. That's the wrong way to phrase it. They've,
right,
been automatically dispatched. That's going to end as of this email that I've got telling me that's no more. We need to remember to ask for them, which is not, you know, an impossibility by any means. You know, it's like the first thing I think of, you know, when it goes off structure fire.
Right.
But
the meeting on the 18th is, you know,
regular partners meeting.
The regular partners meeting, and are you going to have a discussion then with Central Yavapai about their interceding?
Yeah, sure.
Or are you just going to let it go?
No, we're going to discuss the issue, however that goes.
And what does that gain you?
A little understanding of will they come if dispatched or if requested, yes or no. I mean, that would be useful to know. In theory, if Engine 75 is out, we may need Central Yavapai.
Okay.
Is that an option? It either is or it isn't.
Okay, hang on a second. In the discussion, I think unspoken here is we understand where maybe some of this is coming from, but at the same time, it doesn't do much to do it head-on. It doesn't do much to go on head-on and say, why did you call? Yeah. If you pose a conversation about will you come if dispatch rather than why did you call, you know, the alarm room, and let that kind of go away, because there's no answer to that. I mean, there's no way that anybody at that meeting is going to be able to answer why they did that, or would they? I wouldn't imagine that they would. But it would be good to know if they will come if they are asked to come by us.
Okay.
Because Prescott, we already know we have this informal agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their chiefs are in the ballpark, in our camp in terms of helping us in an informal way. And if somebody objected to the fact that it was being done automatically, it should have been them. But you can't have this conversation with Central Yavapai, I don't believe, and be productive. It all would just raise more brick walls.
So is there a possibility to establish a auto response contract or agreement? Or
my understanding of how it works, not that this is in stone, is that no, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. There's two things. There's automatic aid. There's mutual aid. We kind of have mutual aid because we can request it. Automatic aid would require us to be a district. Another obstacle to this whole thing, in addition to that issue, is that there is unjurisdicted, if that's a word, land between us and Prescott,
right,
with all that forest land.
There it is.
Yeah.
You might be able to get it with Groom Creek because you're contiguous, but,
mm-hmm,
you know, but
that would take longer.
Yeah,
didn't want to do this, that's their, I mean, obviously it's in their best interest to put the fire out here.
Yes.
Right.
It's about money.
I mean,
if it becomes a problem, it'll be about expenses.
Right.
That was my next question. Do they ever charge for this?
No.
I think my main concern is, man, we've had three structure fires in, 45 days, 2 months?
Yeah.
So is it a matter of our education? Because we just had two, or was this a third one?
The bad electrician.
So the first one, someone set a fire.
Oh, it was?
Per the newspaper.
Okay.
A fire intentionally to be an arson?
Arson. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so now that that's been in the paper,
mm-hmm.
having been in the house that day, it was obvious that someone set a fire.
I see.
So that's one. The other two,
mm-hmm.
it was two fires at the same house.
I see.
That electrical, like Stephen just said, two different locations in the same house.
Wow.
A week apart or whatever it was.
Gotcha. Check that guy's
line. And they didn't learn their lesson after the first one to check the electrical?
And how the fire was. And how old a home is that?
The second one, where fires two and three were,
mm-hmm.
was built around 1990.
Okay, gotcha. So really, before the inspections were mandatory. That was my understanding.
But it was
20 years ago.
It's a remodel, right?
Hmm.
They were doing work. They were working on it, or just spontaneously caught on fire.
So my concern was
not a current remodel. Is that what you're asking?
No, but was it somebody just working on this, or just this thing just spontaneously caught on fire after 20 years?
Right. More along those lines. I don't know if it was spontaneous. I don't know what caused it, but someone had not just been working on it.
Okay.
The guy had been living there. He built the house 20 years ago. Old Reimer. Built the house 20 years ago. It was solar, so there's all sorts of extra stuff going on. Started in
somebody your age, man.
One spot.
Thank you.
And then a second spot a week later.
What do we know about the wildlife fire?
Not much. There was a kind of a burn pile looking, or it looked like a pile of stuff. And that's where the most intense flame activity was. It's reasonable to think that's maybe where it started, but I can't be certain. And because what's weird about it is, if at the point of origin, that's on the property of people who weren't there versus the renters next door. So I don't know why they would have been burning slash or whatever on the next door neighbor's property.
There wasn't a natural cause for it. It's man-made.
Can't be certain, but there was no lightning.
Right.
I'm not sure what else would cause a fire.
Were your kids at home?
Necessarily.
I think you can see what I'm getting at is it a matter of, that we need to put something out in the newsletter instructing people on safety. Get yourself a licensed contractor if you're going to be doing work. We've had more electrical fires because of bad electric, things like that.
And if you commit arson, we'll put you in jail.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know if we need that, but there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Sure. Right, I just want to see if that was something that we're not doing our job.
Okay. Or another part of that could be all homeowners, homeowners.
Right.
If they're renting their property, you have the liability.
Right,
with your renters.
Well, with arson, you can't control.
That's
all right.
A tough one. Okay.
Any other questions for Roger about his fire chief?
I do have one more question.
Sure.
As far as the fixing the transmission on the 82, is that thing geared as low as you can go with the rear end and everything, so that we have the possibility of somebody driving it up a hill with it, or is it doesn't make any difference?
That truck,
it drives uphill just fine.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's as low as it can go, but it is quite low. And for someone who's patient, who can drive, take 10 minutes to drive up a quarter mile hill in first gear, that part of it is.
It goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Patient.
I know what you're thinking. If we're replacing it anyways, let's get
something better. Put a pumpkin in there, get a.
Right.
I mean, is there some concern? We have people don't know how to drive stick shift.
And I'm done. One
check.
These don't drive normal stick shifts. They are more difficult to drive, and
they're heavy.
That could be part of the equation, sure.
It's a matter of experience and training for people to drive these things and not ride the clutch, whatever happens.
People are used to clutches.
Mm-hmm.
They're not used to clutches. But okay, Chuck.
Just wanted, I put an email out this morning. Really wanted to congratulations to Roger. I mean, he is a chief, and his crew did a hell of a job on Mary May and Sheldon. And out of that came a recruit. Well, I forgot to bring
sure.
his name.
But give him my contact info.
I think that it's great response. 17 people, whatever, you know, it just shows that there's a unity. And public information is important. People need to know that we're doing it. And it's great that we get some sort of an announcement out. I would like to see us know about it as a board. Maybe, you know, if Roger, can you have these events, if you let us know, rather than waiting for like the end of the month. But, you know, so
I said with Chris.
Put an email out, and you know, but at least notify the board that when you have these calls, even if they're seen to be minor, until we get in like 15 a month or something, then say forget that. But all right, I did have a question about the training. You know, guys like Matt, is Matt signed up for this? Your basic training for the fire academy.
He's the one recruit I was referring to.
Okay. And then back to the tender thing, and, you know, I can drive those tenders, but I'm not trained as a firefighter. Do I need to go to this basic training class so I can help you if you need to move those tenders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, I grew up driving tank trucks, and Dan took me around. I don't have any trouble with that truck at all. And you do have people who have trouble driving that truck.
Is that a need, Eric? Because I've said the same thing to you, too. I mean, I've driven tractor trailers and the whole nine yards. I mean, if that helps,
it's just a 3-day
become
commitment.
Qualified.
It's a 3-day commitment to that 5-day, whatever it is.
It's a 5-day class. If you all want to be involved in driving the trucks,
well, the question
great.
Is if there's a need. I think there is.
Well, I mean, it all depends on, you know, the guy right now who usually drives the tenders. He's going through some pretty intense stuff at home. So in theory, he may not have been able to respond to, you know, it, circumstantially he was able to. But, you know, it would be the more people that we can call upon, you know, it would be great to know that we've got two more guys who can competently drive the tender if needed. You know, when we get
Bill can ride up the mountain when he gets there, too.
The second tender
I don't get
circumstantially, it's, you know, having a second tender on site, because we only had one tender here. We used the water, drove it back down, filled it up, and brought it back up. Being able to have the second tender on scene, you know, would have been a help, you know, when we get both of them back. And in that instance, we may have needed one of you guys.
When is the training?
It's in March. It's around March 15th.
That's right.
Where is it on my own?
Schools.
Okay.
Every bit. I can email you the link to the academy. If you want to sign up, great, let me know. And I'll go from there.
I'd be happy to. Okay.
Hey. Okay,
can I ask another question?
Sure.
On the same
Absolutely.
Line, it's all ties in. Because I just finished putting my 3,000-gallon tank in. What are you asking us to do? Mark Aaron put all the attachments on, and I said, just put on whatever it is, the fire department. He seemed not to know what that is, so I guess I need to know what that is. And
so
I know Tim McFarland just put in a 2,500-gallon tank. So you got all this water going in.
So I'm waiting for a completed cover your ass form that we can put out to people. And then once we've got that, then we'll go ahead and reach out to everyone who's done that with what the plumbing needs are. Ron Cervantes just had a tank put in, and a 2.5-inch attachment is...
Any particular brand?
What's it called? National Standard...
And that's a female connection? Or
yes, female. Oh, no, I misspoke. It's male. Sorry. So once that form is back, you know, I've got a little index of people. I'll put it out to them. Maybe we can go, once the form is created, you know, again ask for more, you know, people who have not already offered their tank, put out another broad thing to get, you know, a few more people. And then we just put out instructions about what to do.
When you drive around, you see a lot of tanks, man. That could be a lot of water if you got it signed.
Well, we have several people that have stepped forward, and you got another one as a result of your announcement about that last fire. Somebody up on
coincidentally, the scene of the wildland fire had a tank there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Hmm. Yeah.
No.
And they'll be around. Okay. Any other questions for Roger?
He did a good job.
Good job. All right. I have a motion to accept the. Who gets this one? John.
I'm struck out a little on that one. I'm not too sure if it's me.
John moves. Who's second? Vic's probably happening too. All right. Vic's coming back. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
There he is.
Committee reports. We just heard about the water contract, Greg. Is that something that you were working on, I thought?
Well, yeah. The one that I forwarded you, Bill,
yes.
What I'd like to do with that is get it over to Karash or to council. I think if Karash just takes a look at it, you've got a situation where it's the homeowners that's approving, access to their water. I don't think we need to make a 5-page agreement out of this thing. I think one short page, as I had suggested, with a quick overview to make sure we're not missing anything, and then get it out to the community.
I agree. All right. Okay. I'll talk about that this week, and we'll call Bill.
Good.
All right. You have anything else, Greg, in terms of your committee?
No, as I mentioned earlier, once we get the results, we do the cutoff on the survey, then I'll get that over to the planning committee. Actually, I'll do that in the next couple of weeks. And then so in tandem with the next board meeting and giving the results of the survey, we'll have the planning committee at least moving.
Okay.
And then with the January meeting, during the month of January, we should be able to articulate a strategy and get it to the board by February and then move forward.
Okay. And did you fold the EAD issue into your survey, into your planning committee, or is that a standalone committee?
It's not in the survey. It is in the planning committee. I forwarded that over to Russ, so he has the most current version. What we may want to do is, if that's not posted in the new website, go ahead and get that in there.
The EAD thing, right?
EAD.
Okay, and then... Scott, were you doing anything with the EAD? Are you waiting for all this?
I want to see the response to that. I've spoken to Stephen. Lauren and I are going to get together because Lauren had looked into that extensively. I want to sort of get some of the information so we're not tracking the same thing. Stephen had some good about him and some bad about him. So I can't say for sure 100% the direction we're going to go. I think... first impression is we're probably going to start a little bit slower than what we wanted, make sure the maintenance is being done, the batteries are being kept up, they're not being stolen, rather than having a perhaps overwhelming goal of getting a huge amount through the whole area. But again, Lauren had done quite a bit of research that we still have to get together and talk about the pros and cons. I still think it's overall a good idea, but maybe we'll start out with 5 or 6, make sure those are doing well by people in people's houses where they're utilized and available, and if it's successful without any hiccups, then we expand it out.
Scott, can we get a price point where we can offer them for sale through the fire department? Because some people might be willing
to buy them themselves.
They're a couple grand, I understand.
Yeah, $1,500 to $2,000 ballpark.
They're, my life's worth it.
Once we get the numbers, I'm going to make a proposal. And I was actually sort of what we were – you weren't here when we discussed this – is tentatively what we're looking at is the fire department kicking in half and we do a fundraising for the other half. What I was going to say is if you contribute half, we'll get one in your home with maybe the fire department contributing half. Now, I haven't made that as a formal proposal yet, but that's what I was sort of envisioning so that they would have the perk of it. I just want to make sure that anyone that has it on their house is probably going to be on the porch. We're accessible not just to them, but to everybody that might need it, and hopefully with a full-time resident that could make sure it's not being stolen or mayhem. And also a very, very important aspect is the batteries can wear out. So as part of the maintenance, Roger, we're going to have, I wanted to talk to you about that, but once we get these in, periodically someone has to go by and check the batteries.
That'll be part of the proposal and the program to do it. Roger, you have a question?
A couple of things. One, in case anyone doesn't know, the batteries for these things are peculiarly expensive. They're like $120
That, right, Stephen, is about 120. The other thing is, and I don't have an answer yet, this just occurred to me now, but one concern that I have with this is we are creating a situation where someone having an emergency, their first thing is not that they call 911 now. And I don't know what kind of problem that creates. It seems to me that creates some sort of liability problem. I don't know what it is. I might be wrong. I don't know what a solution is. But that's something that, we may want to figure out whether it needs to be mitigated, and if it does, how we mitigate it. Not calling 911, like for the fire department. That's a big problem.
Who's putting out not to call 911?
No. I mean,
They may first urge to do that. First of all, not all heart attacks respond to EAP, so it's not always appropriate. But we can put a instruction sheet against it on the wall, and if they don't have one that says that, we can clearly state, first step, call help, then assess it if you want.
Well, I can say in the Red Cross training, the very first thing they tell you is call 911 before you do anything.
No matter what.
I mean, it'd be crazy to... And Lauren, did you guys teach AED?
Yes, our CPR class. Yeah.
CPR class. I mean, that's maybe something we want to enhance just for the AED training, because everything's very simple.
It's with the CPR. You do one and you do the other.
Right. Okay, well, my thought was, like the water, people, like I have one. And make a collection of names of people that do have the AEDs, but the first response should be for 911.
Mm-hmm.
And then we internally with our dispatch system, however that works, or even with the alarm room, can notify the people that have the AEDs that there's an event happening that they could maybe get there quicker than we can get to the firehouse
right.
and back.
And it's possible, but as Matt just said, mitigates it. Just give them an instruction sheet, first thing on it,
right.
Call 911.
But to begin with, start with people that are willing to put them in their houses themselves before you have a program that's really...
I think the bulk of the people are going to be like Vic, where you say, look, I'm over 50. It could happen in my house. This is a good idea. Not that you're over 50, but if he was over 50...
Okay, Chuck.
I know we have an AED on our emergency vehicle.
We've got an AED on the Rescue 81, and there's one AED on one of the other trucks that they've got.
Patrol 80 has a truck.
So my question was, is it necessary or should it be necessary to have more than those amount of AEDs on our trucks? So should we have an AED on all of our trucks?
I think if they're going to add any AED, you've got a fire unit at the station up on Big Bug, they should have an AED.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that are responding to Roger's set up, that are going up there, know how to use it, their CPR, and their first response, that entitles to them. When you get another one for potato patch, and it's built, yes, definitely put an AED on it, because that will cut down the time it takes Roger and I to even get up to that area.
Yeah.
That is good. I have no qualms about that. And I'm
or even give you one to carry yourself. There's a variety of programs around for AED support that are putting them in the schools and in the public buildings and things. And those people have access to lower prices for AEDs. And that's we can talk about all that. But that's all part of your proposal, I think, in terms of the study that you're going to do.
Hopefully, before the next meeting, you and I can spend an hour together. And in the next meeting, we can at least lay out the skeletal structure of where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
As long as, of course, the surveys support that there's some community interest. I don't think, given the information, that it would have a negative response.
That's right. Oh, you can't argue against having AEDs around, just like you can't argue against running red lights.
Right.
can I make a proposal that we actually put in our budget to get an AED for the station in the
Big Bug
right now?
Makes sense.
I think you just made the motion, Chuck.
I did. Mm-hmm.
I second, but we might wait until we know how many we're going to do. We might get a volume discount if we get five at the same time as opposed to one at the same time.
But in the meantime, we can at least budget $2,000 for one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to
Hang on a minute. So you have a Your motion is to place an AED in the fire truck that's up at the on the big bug.
Right, right.
Okay, and you're putting a dollar amount of $2,000.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so there's a motion for to place an AED on the fire truck at the big bug, up to $2,000. I have a second from John Owen-Essien. Is there a discussion about this particular thing, other than maybe, but why wait? You know.
Well, my two thoughts are, one, you might save money, and two, if we're going to buy 5 or 10, you'd want it to be the same model so that someone gets familiar with it. They're not confused. All of which should be done in the next couple of weeks. This is not something we're waiting until summer.
Okay. But at least we have the proposal in, and
okay.
Move
all right. So the motion then is that there's an approval. We're going to approve up to $2,000 to buy an AED, depending on the study made by the planning committee for AED purchases.
I think if you talk to the people from Phelps or wherever you get it from, there's a possibility of getting more. You want the best price, and if we get them more, please give us a better price to make up the difference.
Yeah, but even different manufacturers are all pretty simple. You open the box and read the instructions.
They're idiot-proof.
Yeah, for eighth graders. Okay. So any other discussion?
Yeah, on the forehead and on the
All in favor? Greg? Gone?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Opposed? All right. Motion carries.
One point that's related is it doesn't vote, but yes, Scott, there are a couple in the community. I know Tim McFarland has one. I wonder if it's possible, you know, we're going to actually go forward and try and assemble a network of these things. If we can integrate some existing ones into this plan, if people are willing to do that, then it might mean, you know, if we're thinking we want to buy 5, maybe instead we only need to buy 4, as an example, that type of thing. But
yeah.
Well, at first I thought 15, because you don't want more than 5 minutes to get it to the emergency situation. The ideal to come up with, not including potato patch or up at Heron Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
But then after talking to Steven, you know, I sort of pulled in the horns a little bit and thought maybe it would be better for 5. But 5 was not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal was having them spread out such that wherever you would have it. I mean, if you're up at Chuck's house, it's a long ways from down here.
You know, I got to think, practically speaking, for somebody to know who's got the AED, you got a loved one there writhing on the floor, you know, see, I got to call Bill, you know, then
call 911.
No, it's real simple. At the next meeting, you have a map, you say, take it, know where your nearest neighbor is that has one of these.
Yeah, call 911.
Yeah.
Call 911. There's no go.
So call 911, but then you still want to know.
Then the 911 puts in motion an event. Events to find it.
Do what it has.
Yeah, right. There you go. And then they'll help you find a close EAD or somebody that can bring it over to you. Okay. Any other committee reports? Any other committees? All right. Volunteer of the month. Neither one of them are here. Myra and Peggy, because of the dance. You know, that's a great idea that she came up with. You know, I wasn't clear exactly what was going on at the beginning of that, so it turns out to be. Okay, thanks. So I'm going to give these to you. Myra deserves it for all the other stuff that besides that, you know, that she does. But so if you don't mind, I'll give you both hers and Peggy's, because what's happening is I'm getting a collection of stuff.
Take them both.
Yeah, and make sure Peggy understands that we appreciate the fact that she stepped up here trying to do this. All right? Old business. Articles of incorporation. Have you heard back from Whittington?
Articles of incorporation.
No, okay. So we're going to table that because there's really no sense. There's waiting for him
I'll
to give us a red line. The alarm contract, I talked to Jeff Coughlin on Monday, sent him the engagement letter. The engagement letter is 4 stinking pages, the same length of time as that stupid alarm contract. I think a hurdle that we don't need to have to jump over, because you know, Whittington drew up this contract for the city of Prescott. It's the same contract we've been operating under for the last couple of years. It's just they want us to renew it at the end of the year. And then now we're dealing with Whittington looking at it and saying, I can't tell you to sign this stupid thing. And now we have this lawyer up with a two-hour, you know, thing, so we could be paying another $500 to sign this contract that is pretty benign.
I am not in favor of lawyers, period. So, but in this situation, I think I understand where you're going with this, Bill. I just thought, you know, since he had that, it was a fairly simple situation. A couple things complicated it. He told me specifically he's going to be in touch with Jeff. He's going to work very closely to get the thing knocked out.
He just
couldn't do that himself. And I think we got a pretty good consensus of let's get it done.
Yeah.
Victor Daver.
Well, I talked to Jeff. He said he'd have it done by Wednesday. He was busy till Wednesday, but he would have something to me by Friday. I have not heard from him.
There's not much sense in giving him to an attorney to review and then not following the things that the attorney tells you to do to increase your legal situation.
I think we're going to be all right with this. I think
okay.
It's not going to cost.
So we're going to have to table this one too.
Yep.
All right. The website. Website's been up and changed. Chris is working on it. I guess we've all had some conversations with him. He now has the. I'm no longer doing the emails, although I don't mind doing them. And he's asked me to filter some of them, like the dog lost dog thing. I don't want to get into the lost dog business, but at the same time, it's
community
because those damn dogs come home anyway.
Right.
but at the same time, people don't want to see a bunch of crap. And I don't know that lost dogs are crap, but
right. But we have a network set up, so
yeah. Right. Well, you do. I did your lost dog.
Absolutely.
Too. One every once in a while
is
okay. But if it becomes, you know, every time somebody's dog doesn't come home after 3 o'clock,
our poor grandmother.
Can
you summarize the 4,000 emails that were flying around last month on the website
about?
Well, there's a lot of emails that were flying around about the. Protocol to use, and you can sign on or sign off.
Open
the domains.
Yeah, what he did was he changed, and this is the second time in about 18 months or 12 to 14 months. We originally had a several webmasters culminating in Jeff Morehouse. And when Jerry Latham took it over, he put it, and it was a mess behind the scenes. It had never been really taken care of. It was just everything kept being added
bunch
on.
A bunch of Band-Aids.
So they attempted, Jerry started it. He moved all the names into an email list and sent a mail out to everybody. If you want to get emails, you have to answer and agree and to accept the emails. Well, what happened was people didn't do it, then they weren't getting the emails, and they were calling Jerry, raising all kinds of cane with him because they weren't getting the emails anymore. He got fed up with that, and he said, forget it. And then Steve Dvorak stepped in and started to handle and cleaned up a bunch of that website stuff. So what happened when Chris came along, it's still pretty muddy in the old email, in the old website. Chris comes in, makes a complete change into what is with WordPress.
It streamlines
it, and he has copied over all these emails from all these different addresses again, and another instruction has gone out. If you want to, you can go in and modify your own now. You don't have to wait for us to do it. Before, it was a two-step process. You tell us, we went back in and modified it, and then they would be happy with it. So that's what those emails are about. There's some confusion now. There's been some hiccups about it, but it's being automated.
Password that we had for the old good for the new, or do you have to go in and set up something and get it?
It worked.
Okay.
Ancillary to that is the domains, and I think it's worthwhile to bring it up in the meeting today, and I should have put that in the old business. He's moved the domain for walkerfire.org. To where we got a 9-year extension on that. Now we have three domains for the Walker Fire Auxiliary, which is .org, .com, and .net, and we really don't need three because if we extend those 9 years, it's going to cost us probably $300.
Yeah.
We probably just need .com and
our .org.
I talked to Chris. He said
.com.
Go with the .com.
Yeah.
And and we can extend that one for 9 years and cost us $100 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could probably just like, because I don't know why we have three.
Right.
Yeah, and the one that we probably should have had, walkerfire.com, we don't have. Right. So we have walkerfire.org, but there is a walkerfire.com that somebody else owns. So that can be confusing, and that's the one that most people will use. The Walker Fire Auxiliary, very little use. I mean, we will lead people to it off of our walkerfire.org website to go to that one.
Well, I'll make a motion. Let's say let's just establish Walker Fire Auxiliary at .com and drop the .org and drop .net and extend
to drop all domain names
except for the walkerfire.com
and walkerfire.org and Walker Trash Collection Service.
Right.
And Walker Trash Collection Service. So we'll have three domains,
right?
Okay. So, but walkerfire.org. We're going to keep walkerfire.org, Walker Fire Auxiliary, right? .com, walkerfireauxiliary.com, and Walker Trash Collection Services. That hasn't been part of the communications, but Chris and I have been talking about that one.
Okay. .com. And then extend Walker Fire Auxiliary for...
You want to extend them for 10 years?
9 years.
The trash people, you guys actually have that website. It's just, yeah, what do you do? You show the trash?
Yeah.
No, no, it just... It's just
some of this stuff, Vic.
Wow. No, it's a way for the... to. It's a... It's a way to... It's a way to put the agreement and the information about the Walker trash. You almost have to have it. You know,
we're trying to keep that as...
Yeah. So you can pay for your annual service over that website?
You can do it.
Well, you can't pay for it yet. We haven't set that up yet, but you have to do the agreement. You still have to send in a check.
And Greg, while you're on, I mean, I apologize for being out of the fold here, but what was the whole thing about PayPal and setting that up?
Okay, separate topic.
Okay.
We'll do
yeah.
That. Okay, I need a second.
Can you hear me?
Motion. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute, Greg. We got a second to the motion to drop all the web... domain names except those three. And John Onesian seconds that, okay? Yeah. Any other discussion about the web names? All in favor? What? Wait.
Are you sure? People know them.
No.
Okay.
Good question.
Aye. All in favor? Opposed?
In favor.
Okay. Now.
What's Greg in his treadmill over there?
He's doing. He's tiling this floor.
Oh no! I missed.
Really?
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
Bankers don't do that.
You asked about the PayPal. We're talking about the website because we're going to do. We're doing the PayPal through the website, Greg.
Yes, we can. That's not difficult. We just need to give Chris the final instructions. But what I did, Bill and Vic, and it was in that last email, I set up the main PayPal account with regards to information, but what you guys need to do as signers on the account is now go in with the password that I set up for you guys, and then you can change it afterwards, obviously, but go in and actually link our checking account to it. And then that way, when there's drafts, when there's payments that go through the website, either check or with a PayPal account, I'm sorry, not check, but credit card, Visa, MasterCard, or PayPal, it'll glide straight back into the account.
Okay, and that there's an email. I must have 4,000 emails, and that's.
Yeah, you know what? Just for clarity, since so much time has gone by, I'll resend it tonight. And then if you just follow those instructions, there's the link to the site you need to go to, the passwords, and then once you go into the site, very simple instructions on how you link your account.
Works for me. Thank you.
And then once you do that, confirm that, and then Chris. Once you give him the information, I mean, that's pretty routine in the websites that he's managing. He just, like I said, puts the link inside our website and tests it and should work. We probably want to do a couple of $1 charges before we roll it out to the community just to make sure it does work so there's no frustration on the other end.
So we would be using that as one method of paying dues and what have you.
It takes credit.
Pardon me?
Quick question for you, Greg. I know with PayPal you can make a payment or you can give a gift. Do you think PayPal would have a fit if people were trying to do this as a gift and not to pay the 3% fee?
Oh, for all the nonprofits, there is a fee regardless. But for the nonprofits, I think it's about a 25 or 30% discount on the fee for processing. Now, that's on all the PayPal processing that they do. Now, Vic and Bill will see the details, but the whole nonprofit idea, they don't do anything for free, but they give you that, like I said, 25 or 30% discount on the interchange fees.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think it's used, but it's gonna, we'll take it. That makes somebody pay. We'll pay the warranty.
If we pay 2% or something. I think the typical standard is 3% on any transaction, right?
Depends on your agreement.
It depends on the agreement. Some are higher. It depends on the average ticket. You know, once I looked at this 2 years ago, our average ticket's pretty good. I mean, if you look at the smallest donation that was made through Visa, MasterCard, and Vic could pull this up, I think it was $50. I don't think we ever got below that. And these things can get as high, and we don't get very many of them, but are $1,000 or $3,000, for example. And what happens is they take the average ticket because they get bigger interchange but on fewer items that go through, and they set your rate based on those parameters and chargebacks. But we've never had a chargeback as long as I've been on the board, so that wouldn't be a dilution, you know, or an add-on to the rate. So we should get one of the preferred rates at an average of 200, let's say, to 250.
Okay.
Super. Thank you.
And the other thing, real quick, you know, Vic, you know, we had talked about that, you know, the placards that we send out, you know, we can probably find a way now with Adam doing, you know, the posting and sending out the letters, we can probably make that placard into a postcard so that we sent the acknowledgement as well. You know, they get the card for the window, and then immediately in PayPal, they'll send a receipt. So the minute you make your donation and goes through PayPal, Visa, or MasterCard, they get a bounce back on the email confirming that they made a donation, that it was in the amount of this, it was on this date. So the need for a letter other than, you know, for marketing or membership purposes really goes away. So we should be able to look at that and find a better way of handling that end of the donation side as well.
That sounds great. By the way, we're out of placards again.
Okay, well, we'll be ordering the 2013 placards now.
Yeah, I was going to say, frankly, when I finally picked them up and took them over there, Adam wasn't real sure where he put them. He doesn't have them, but I don't know where they are. We're only talking about 50 of them now.
Yeah.
Are you going to convert those to postcards so you don't have to put them in envelopes?
Yeah, no, that's the idea, because if we could do that, we pay postal rate, first of all, on a postcard rate. And then they just take that. We have the same information where you fill in the information on the back and then have the information on the front for the window, and then that's it. Because that's what we struggled with. You know, how do we get that to the members, even if we did an electronic receipt? And so, you know, the postcard idea came up, and we can easily do that.
Wait a minute, I'm a little lost here. We're talking about the placard to put your name on to put the window in your house. Now, what does the postcard have to do with that?
No, that's I'm using the postcard as kind of a comparison. That placard would become a postcard, right? So Adam would send that with whatever it costs to mail a postcard, 13 cents, 25 cents. It's less than 44 cents. So when he gets the donation, he still has to send the placard out, but he'll, on any electronic email, right, on any PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or PayPal account, every one of those, though, they'll get a bounce-back receipt the minute that they confirm or complete the donation online. They'll get the receipt online, so he doesn't have to necessarily send out a receipt to the customer like we're doing now. The other part of what we send to the customer is that window placard. The window placard, even though they got the receipt electronically on Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal, we would still send those placards out. But we would convert that into a postcard as opposed to putting it in an envelope, paying the 20 cents for the envelope, the 44 or 46 cents for the postage. We would just put a postage stamp on it. Adam would automatically put a sticky a peel-in stick address label on it, and then he'd be done.
Well, the only problem with that is then they're not actually getting a thank you letter from them, that they're just getting a email confirming a donation. You think that suffices?
Well, that's what we need to talk about, because you can customize the bounce back, the email, the confirmation, and you can put whatever you want to. We can put our letter commentary in there.
Okay, well, that's now we're talking.
So like I said, but it becomes what do we want? What do we want the feel to be? If we think that that's too, you know, if that's not sensitive enough, then we can certainly go back to a letter or find some other alternative.
Let me do this, Greg. When I'm a little behind in my life right now. When I get to this here in a week or so, let me give you a yell once I figure out what PayPal looks like.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay, trash collection service. We're changing to Patriot. That thing is still pending. I'm finished with Chase, I need to close the Chase bank account. Do you close that, or can I close it down there?
I'll close it.
Yeah, just go down and close it and put the funds in it and let me know what it is. Actually, Adam will be taking doing the books. I've reconciled. I can't reconcile Country Bank because I can't get in there.
Well,
let me in.
We still have the checking account for the main account, too, because we were waiting to make sure that nothing hit it.
Yeah, but I'm finished. You know,
so are we. So
right. There'll be a $15 service fee that comes in at the end of the month. They may charge that anyway when you close it out. But
well, let's see if they can find us.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's just where we're going, and then we're done.
Sorry,
and I've talked about paying out and how we're going to deal with it.
I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. I mean, we're using this account, and then we're starting to add more stuff to him. I still think it's worth the money because you got the trash collection, you got all those checks coming in. It's not a big deal for him because he doesn't do it himself. He hands it to his secretary. He sits there and makes the deposit. So it's not we're not paying accounting fees for that. The more that one person handles, the less issue there is for losing things, you know, missing somebody. And that's why I was so adamant about having the checks go to the P.O. box, because if we send checks for one thing to the physical address and checks for the other, we'll never get people trained. I really would like to see all the mail dry up that comes to – Roger, you're going to have some stuff, you know, that's just for you that's not – but 95% of the stuff that comes is accounting related, and there's no reason for it to come here anymore. And it's been working beautifully, actually, because he collects it. Well, I was gone for 6 weeks. I mean, he didn't miss a thing. Like, he got the bills from the PO, actually pays them all online, you know.
Are you making a motion?
We probably do need a motion to, because the fire department now is going to, of course, Greg, help me out here. Since the trash collection is an entirely different LLC, probably the trash collection board, or whoever that might be, needs to do their own, and they would pay the fees to the accountant separately out of their account so that we're not paying for, you know, their stuff.
Correct. Well, what we could do, Vic, and talk to Adam about this, whatever his monthly charge is, when he finally determines what it is, and it'd be subject to final acceptance by us as well, the trash side of it. But what he could do is just glide his payment straight out of the account. You know, since he's got authorization to make payments, I believe he's got authorization to make payments. But you're right, it does need to be kept separate. And in the LLC, at the end of the day, you know, we draft all that, or, you know, a good portion of that money out outside of reserves that we need back into the WSPA anyway.
No, he knows that it's a separate entity, and he understands.
Well, what we're going to need to do is send him the information or the instruction set and just explain to him that this is a it's an entity, you know, that is separate but operates under the TIN number of the WSPA.
Right.
And once we tell him that, then he's going to set it up that way and keep them separated so there's no commingling of actual dollars.
Yeah, now we've got that, he understands that, and there already is the separate checking account, so it's all paid through the different checking accounts directly. So there's no commingling of funds.
And he'll have a separate engagement letter from the LLC that I'll give him.
Yeah.
Since we have the new website up, and I don't know where the trash is posted on there, but if we're going to put up a PayPal account on the website, can we in fact have people pay the trash on the website linked to through the trash?
Oh, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that. We can set up the separate PayPal account. There's not – I don't believe there's a base fee, or if it is, it's nominal. I don't remember it when I set it up. But, yeah, there will have to be a separate PayPal account. So what we could do is separate the website. So you have a button in there that takes you to the trash, and then within that same area, that domain within our website, would be the PayPal setup specifically for Walker Trash.
That link is already there, so you can jump from the walkerfire.org into the trash.
Yeah, so we'll just have to set up the separate PayPal account, because otherwise you would be commingling. So
from the fire to the trash. That's about right.
Okay. Anything else about the trash collection. All right, parking lot entrance.
Parking lot entrance, take the egg off of my face. I had a conversation with public road people after they started doing this wonderful job of asphalting, and I said, Earl, where's our 12-foot apron? He goes, what apron? I said, the one you told me you got out of the meeting with Doug and I, wrote the note down, and you're going to, oh, I said, I never did that. I said, Earl, my integrity is suffering here. Well, I brought this to the board, and he said, well, you know, these guys down here, they can't seem to, we don't have a right-of-way. I said, you told me that. Anyway, long story short, he said he's going to put tailings in the day before Thanksgiving. Since we don't have anything, and all the trucks that put the asphalt on the road turned around right here in our mm-hmm. lot, tore the crap out, so I have to have another meeting.
Okay. So we still don't have an answer.
I don't have an answer.
All right. So we
it's
table that.
How these major things become.
All right. New business.
I have one.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a system. I stand corrected whatever I did wrong.
Okay. So what we have under new business is the dance.
The dance. I've had many communications with Peggy and Myra, and Peggy's reached out to Myra. They're working together on this. Obviously, Steve will probably be slipped into that mix somewhere. So we still, and I've sent the community. I've sent the thing to Chris. He's got the community notification out to everybody. But there's going to be some. It's going to be a successful event without probably many people coming from Walker. She's got a lot of people coming from
her dance group.
I mean, there's quite a few. So
okay.
This is going to become a nice, small fundraiser, I think. Mm-hmm. And if the weather holds up, she asked who plows here. I plow, Dan plows. But it's going to be a nice function.
And it sits for January 6th.
January 5th. Saturday, 2 to 5, here at the station, Rogers
okay.
Street, to get all the, move on all the trucks. Barring any really difficult weather scenarios.
Yeah. Well, I want to try to get here and help set up because they have another social event at Victoria's house, apparently.
Yeah.
And so at the end, putting stuff away. It's always a problem getting help putting stuff away.
Yes. And it's always appreciated the help because, talking with Greg about this, I guess our insurance, someone from the board is involved. And I put on the flyer at the bottom in small print, co-sponsored by the WFPA.
Yeah.
Recover.
Okay. Okay, so that's rocking along, doing this thing. All right. You have some other new business?
You sure it's okay?
It's okay. It's always okay. But you're supposed to have told us at the beginning.
Okay.
What is it?
Didn't come to me until this.
I know. Well, that's under community announcement. Okay. But
Krista McFarland is my assistant treasurer. Mm-hmm. I would like to be able to add her as a signator on the checking account for the purposes that I've been gone for the past 6 weeks. Issues came up, which she's always here. You live down in Phoenix. You know, I mean, everybody's – it's just it'd make it easier. And I don't know, is assistant treasurer, is that actually a position or is that just a mate? Does it make any difference? I mean,
material.
Huh?
Material.
I don't know if we can get somebody else added. I mean, I know we have, Greg, you can help me on this one. I know we've got a bond, correct, covering?
Yes. Yes. What we would do, Bill, is just go ahead and have her added to the bond incrementally. I don't think it's any more of a cost. And then with regards to the banking account, you can put whatever title you want to as long as the secretary and the president sign off on it.
But it has to be in the minutes, I think.
Yes, you'll have to have it in the minutes, so you'll want to go ahead and vote on that now. Take that in, and then Christy will have to go in and sign as well.
But is this going to – are we all going to have to go in and re-sign these stupid documents like they
probably.
Did at the Chase Bank?
Probably.
I don't know. You know, with a smaller bank, they may not require it. I know at our bank, you know, with an officer's approval, they can just go ahead and tack on another signature. So it just depends on that bank.
That bank quality.
That'll be my issue now to get
okay.
through.
Okay. Because it's a coordination effort of getting us all together in the same room at the same time. Either that or send it around like we did before.
It works fine sending it around.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that Chris McFarland be added as a
in the capacity of assistant secretary to be a signator on the Country Bank checking account and money market account. Okay. Have a second?
I might suggest assistant to the treasurer as opposed to assistant treasurer.
Good idea. Sure.
So are we creating the title, the assistant to the treasurer? Isn't it in our bylaws?
I thought it was in our bylaws as an assistant treasurer.
We did vote it in the bylaws.
Oh, okay. Didn't know.
Okay, all right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
So we'll draft you a letter to take to the bank.
Okay. You take that.
Take that to the bank. Any other new business?
No.
Cherish the thought. Community announcements. Anybody have anything that's happening? The dance, of course. John?
Maybe this is community. Has anyone noticed all those amazing number of reflectors all up and down Walker Road?
So it's already an issue. It's already being...
Okay.
I've got information there. They're supposed to be 260 feet apart.
No, I heard 240, but maybe it's 260, because I also called the county.
Okay.
They're like 50, aren't they?
How long are they going to last?
In the neighborhood of 50.
For those of us who drink, they can be very helpful.
Yes.
First white
I thought those were deer eyes.
Yeah. It was just amazing. And at any rate,
you're commenting about the road.
There too many of them? Is that what we're saying?
It's a potential serious hazard. There's no way to pull over.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially, and that's if you don't have an emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
Right. And they're blocking driveways.
Yeah, it's a hazard.
And
they drove it right in the middle of a...
It's also blocking access onto Blue Jay, kind of. You have to go a little further, and it becomes a trickier turn.
Okay, so, all right. Community announcements? Anything going on?
Last meeting, one of the members of the community asked if what we could do medically, and we talked about the defibrillators. I sat down with Stephen, and I've... spent many hours going through things with the Yavapai College. Make a long story short, it looks like a lot of my doctoral records can be transferred to the university here. I still have a lot of courses to do with things you don't learn in school, how to load people in ambulance and stuff like that. Sometime in the latter part of next year, I should be a fully qualified paramedic.
Wow, cool.
Okay. So I have to take maybe 10%.
Happy to have you as a neighbor.
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A little red phone in your house.
Do you have a defibrillator at home? No,
not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right.
He's not old enough.
Yeah.
Firewise, Lauren?
Yeah, we've talked about Firewise.
Or anything else?
Something else, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Firewise, we have received one grant from the county. It's a Title III grant. And they decided to go ahead and fund us, so... and give us the money up front, so the money's in the bank. We are in the process now of sending notices out to people in order that they had applied in the past for mitigation, offering it to those people first.
And how much is your grant?
The grant is $40,750.
Is that a 90-10?
No.
It's 100%.
To the homeowner, it's a 90-10.
Okay.
Because if we get the WFPA grant, or WFHF grant, that will be a 90-10 grant.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than try to administer them differently, we'll use that 10% to help fund chipper days, firewise days, things like
that. Okay, so are you going to use any of this $40,000 for chipper days?
Yes. Okay. We have some chipper days planned. I'm going to try to get that big chipper grinder back in here. And if we can do that at a reasonable rate, that would be our most efficient method. That will allow people to bring their slash down here, plot it, or maybe a month ahead of time, bring that big chipper in and get it out of here in a day.
Okay.
I'm waiting for a call back from the county now as far as to give me a quote on the fee schedule for it.
Okay, when you put that chipper out there, who staffs it? And who pays, and the county does. Okay. So that's not it's not our workers' comp.
No. What they do is they bring in the equipment, which includes a loader of some sort and the grinder. and they bring in the operators. And basically, there's one operator.
Yeah, somebody with a pair of gloves, right?
This little box.
Oh, okay.
So he runs a chipper grinder with a remote control, and he does that from the seat of the loader.
Hmm. So what do they just have? A clamp that picks it up and feeds it in?
He's got a grapple hook.
So this is not hand feed. Okay.
Well, no.
Best it is. Front end loader.
That's great.
Okay, Warren, did you have something else?
Yeah. We have finally, after all this time, received our certificates, and we plan to have a meeting in January to award those certificates. And County Emergency Management now has an individual who's dedicated to CERT. He's our CERT coordinator. He's a volunteer. He's had his training, and he's getting on board now. So we'll have some follow-up.
That's not Marty, is it? Not Marty, is it?
No. His name is Eric Lash.
Hopefully they'll do like an annual...
refresher?
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be more than that.
Right. What, 8 classes or so, something like that? I mean, that was a lot of info to take in.
these people put in 20 hours of classroom and on-hands training. And the lady who did the training got hurt, and we had a change in emergency management administrators, and the whole thing kind of fell apart all of a sudden there. But it's now coming back to life.
And you're going to have more CERT classes in the future?
We hope to have more CERT classes as we find people interested, and also CPR training.
That's great.
Okay. Keith, you have anything you want to say? Steve? Okay,
sure. Relating back to the FireWise thing, and Lauren and I discussed this, and you know, the board has talked about this because we brought this up before, and we were going to do a NEMA week in May sometime, and I know the board has expressed an interest in possibly helping out in that. We do have the grants, and notwithstanding, we don't want to start taking anything away from that, but if the board has interest and we want to contribute to some cost of the dumpsters there, because we're looking at a whole week of needles and slash and everything, and I'm in favor of it, but, you know, I'm just bringing it up right now. We don't have to vote out it or anything like that, because we're going to be doing this in the spring. So,
I think I'd like...
Our original grant was for $85,000. We got it cut in half and then another couple thousand taken off of that. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the funds that we thought we were going to have initially to do this. So down the road there may be
more money.
Mm-hmm. There may be more money. There may also be a shortage. If we get the other grant, we're going to be fine.
It's my hope for this year that our donations are going to increase just because things have calmed down so much. But we won't know until we see what the results are of this newsletter. No, this newsletter.
Hold on.
No, that's newsletter. We haven't seen the results of that yet. And in terms of where we are, and then we as a board, we need to make a concentrated effort to raise funds. I mean, it's just for those kinds of things. We need to have chipper days. We need to have some sort of mitigation assistance. I believe that's an important thing for us to do. We only do that if we can raise money, or the EAD program, those sorts of things only come because if we're just making our expenses, our operating budget, you don't want to be digging into the reserve fund for those kinds of things. But I think because we have the $3,600 for the transmission, you know, those kinds of expenses are going to pop up. So I'm anxious to see what happens as a result of the newsletter. And, you know, I believe the tone has really started to change for the better, and I think that we're going to get better.
And I'm not advocating that we spend money frivolously.
It's not frivolous. I think it's that's those chipper days. Those chipper days were so well received and participated in that I think it's good. Greg, anything from you?
Nothing else for me.
Okay. How's the floor coming?
John?
Good, although I had a little bit of a crash and burn while I was trying to have a conversation, so apologies to you guys on your end as well. I cut out a couple times, but going good.
We did miss you.
Yeah. I didn't think he would.
Scott. Yes. Roger.
Nothing.
All right. Adjournment. May I have a motion to adjourn? Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
John O. moves.
Anybody opposed?
Chuck Bowers. All right, that's for Ari. All in favor?
All right, good meeting.
Hi.
No trucks outside. I thought, I think it's today.
Exactly what I thought. Yeah, I've
been seeing a lot of emails about, you know, the...
Oh, you're talking about, you know, we're doing it inside.
Right,
because
right.
You weren't here last week.
I wasn't here last month. Correct, yeah. Correct. Yeah. It's strange to miss a move.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. Oh, sorry, you're a good man.